Welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, once again, welcome. We're excited that you are here. If you've got your Bible, I'm going to invite you to just go ahead and grab that out. If you've got a smartphone or a tablet and you're going to open up your Bible app on that, go ahead and do that at this time. And let's just go before the Lord. Lord, we ask that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear today what you would speak to us through your word. Lord, give us just a real clarity to hear from you. Lord, we ask that you would give us the leading of your Holy Spirit, courage and boldness to walk into your plans and purposes for us in this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we are excited that you're here. If you're just joining us, we're going to be wrapping up a sermon series that we started 3 weeks ago. And if you're new to our church family, this isn't typically how we deliver our messages. You'll know that I'm probably going to have a guest come up, and we'll have a conversation and an interview as part of our time this morning. And that's going to happen in just a little bit. But we are at the end of a sermon series that has been entitled Our Imperfect Family. And just as you have challenges in your own household and with your own extended family and in-laws and maybe are even anticipating those being at the forefront of interaction as the holidays approach, there are imperfections in the body of Christ because we bring all of ourselves to this type of a gathering. So we've been looking at what are the challenges to us being the representative of Christ in our community and in the world. What are the challenges to us coming together and being unified and being authentic and being vulnerable? And so we've been unpacking that and what it looks like to be in an imperfect family but to be contending for wholeness in the midst of that mess. And so we've looked at a number of different things over the last several weeks. We've talked about what it looks like to have to deal with offense and how to approach conflict and what to do with wounds in our lives. We've talked about having a healthy rhythm of gathering together to encourage one another, but then going from that place to be a part of the plans and purposes that God has for us as individuals, not just collectively. And this morning, we're going to be really looking at the idea of how to step into the plans and purposes that God has for us, and really with this idea in mind that everyone can live into God's plan for their life. That there's not an exception to you or to me that somehow excludes us from being able to step into the things that God has designed for us, but that each one of us can move into that. And there are certainly, there's challenges to coming together and to trying to do that as a group of people. And Pastor Tom was given some highlights of our family gathering, right? Our one service, one meal, one family gathering last week had over 400 people, and that's something really to be excited about and to celebrate, not for numbers' sake, but because each one of those individuals is a person and a soul, and God has a plan and a purpose and a design for their life, and that's something to celebrate. But to put it into context, last year at that same service, we had 288, so that's a huge difference. That's a lot of growth in 1 year. And that means that as there's growth in the family, there's also growing pains. When I was single and it was just me, you know what? My house ran pretty easily. I vacuumed the floor because I cared about a clean floor, and I didn't do the dishes because I don't like to do dishes. And that's pretty much how my house worked. And then as my family began to grow, I got what most, you know, single people do. I got a pet. I got a dog, and he didn't care about the floor or the dishes, and so my life really didn't change very much. But then after that point, getting married and then adding kids, right, it gets a little bit more complex. And then you add your in-laws and your extended family, and there's all of those kind of challenges to being together. And one of the things that we've looked at in this series is what the early church looked like in the book of Acts. And just as a reminder of one of their main characteristics, in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, you can go there yourself if you would like. But at the beginning of that verse, it gives a synopsis of how they interacted with one another. And the early church, by the time of chapter 4, was several thousand people in Jerusalem had already responded to Christ. And so that church had grown from 120 to several thousand in really just one afternoon. So much more rapid growth than even we've experienced. But it says this about that church. It said that all of the believers were one in heart and mind. And when you look at the early chapters of Acts, the church is often described as that, as being together, as being unified, as being connected and a collective, that they were one in heart, one in mind, that they were all about one another and all about the kingdom of God. And as you look as the church grows and spreads through the New Testament, Paul is writing letters to churches and writing letters to churches, and almost always there is a common theme threaded through each of those letters that encourages them to be unified, to avoid division, to love one another as they love themselves, to care more for others than they do themselves, to hold others in higher esteem, because there's this constant pressure as we grow in community to have division and disruption, to have challenges. And one of the things that you find in the church is that it was really, really effective at reaching the world around them because everyone was together. They were all together with one mind and one heart, and they had really one mission, and that was to be a part of the plans and purposes of the kingdom of God. And those were expressed in individuals as much as in the church family. If you are familiar with Paul and Peter, both apostles, both doing great ministry work, but doing it in a really unique and different way, targeting different audiences and going to different environments in different cities and different places. And so even as there was this one heart and there's one mission that they were all a part of, there was individual unique expressions as people took steps into the plans and the purposes that God had for them. Because the plans that God had for Paul weren't even close to the plans that he had for Peter. And you can look at Barnabas and John Mark and so many others in the New Testament in the early church. And God had designs for each of their lives differently, but they all complemented what was going on collectively. And ultimately, the plan and the purpose that God has designed for you is also designed for us. The plan that God has for your life, if you are called to be a part of the body of Christ expressed in Sterling Foursquare, God's design for your life is also part of his design for this church. And we all need to be stepping into the plans and purposes that he has for us uniquely, so that as we come together and do that collectively, there's a greater impact on the community. And for many of us, we struggle with that idea. We are really quick to believe that God has a plan and a purpose for our neighbor. God has a plan and a purpose for our church leaders or those that we feel have their life together, you know, in comparison to us. And we can be reluctant to really step into the things that God has for us. And that's not a new challenge. That challenge, if you look in Scripture, so many men and women of faith dealt with that challenge. We spoke about Moses in our time of worship, but when Moses had that conversation with God and turned aside and heard God clearly speak about a plan and a design for his life, Moses offered an excuse as to why he didn't want to do that, right? God said, you're going to go and you're going to be my spokesman and you're going to lead my people to freedom. And he said, I have a fear of public speaking. No, thank you. I don't really want to do that. And there's this back and forth, and you can read that for yourself in Exodus, as God has a conversation with Gideon. Hey, mighty warrior, man of valor, you're going to lead my people into freedom. Gideon's hiding in fear of his life, and he's not really wanting to be a public figure. And in fact, he responds to God with a number of challenges because his heart is full of doubt. We can relate to those things. Isaiah, who was called to be a prophet, said to the Lord, woe, I am a man of unclean lips. I can't go speak for you. I've got a potty mouth, God. Like, there's some problems here. And God says, I'm going to deal with that, and I'm going to redeem that. And so you can see that in that place as well. And so that challenge for you and I, like, that's not a new thing. The challenge to you stepping into the plans and the purposes and the design that God has for your life, to be a part of the kingdom of God and to do awesome things in that expression of your life. That's not a new challenge for you and I, but there are some things that we have to kind of narrow in on that can help us move forward in that. And in just a minute, I'm going to have somebody come forward, and we're going to talk a little bit about their journey and have some of their testimony woven into these two concepts. But ultimately, if you are going to understand God's plan and purpose and design for your life and then respond with steps of faith to move into it, there's two things that are going to be needed. And one is that you're going to have to be able to hear from God. You have to be able to receive direction from him, or to understand really how to discover how to come to an understanding of God's plan and purpose and design for your life. And then once you have that, much like Moses, right, where God made it really clear, hey, Moses, here's my plan, then you are going to be put into this place where you can choose to accept that and move in steps of faith, right? I was reminded earlier this week of the old TV show Mission Impossible. At the beginning of all of those episodes was a recording, and there was kind of a layout of what the impossible mission was going to be, and it always began with this idea, this is your mission if you choose to accept it. And that really is oftentimes a sticking point for you and I. We'll say, God, I don't know what you want me to do with my life, and then he'll speak with clarity, and then we'll be like, yeah, well, I'm not sure I want to do that with my life, and we have that sticking point there. So we've got to be able to hear from God. And then we've got to be able to respond in steps of faith. And so I'm gonna ask our missionary from Thailand, Aaron Glassburn, if you would welcome him. He's going to share a little bit this morning with us. We're going to talk a little bit about his journey and how he got to be involved in what he's doing and really pull some practical things for you and I about hearing from God and responding in faith. Because again, listen to me, every one of us has that opportunity. Every one of us is given opportunities by God to turn aside and to hear from him and then to choose to respond in faith to prepare for the things that God has for us. And so Aaron, we're just going to start with you. If you would just, for our friends who maybe don't know you, if they're new to the church in the last couple of years, they don't even know your face because we sent you overseas and said you could come back and visit once in a while, but that was it, like we were cutting you off. And so Aaron's been gone overseas the last couple of years, and so he may be a new face for you. So just tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now. Who are you and what are you doing right now?
My name is Aaron. Some of you know me. I grew up, eventually I grew up in this church. Lived in Sterling my whole life, and currently I've been serving at the Aka Outreach Foundation for almost 2 years now, and they have an orphanage, they have a Bible school, and they do pastor training and other things. My focus is media, and last year I just became an official Foursquare missionary, and I've been also traveling to another city, and I've been working with the Thai church in Chiang Mai.
Nice. All right, so that's a little flyover of what's going on in Aaron's life. You can applaud him. I saw somebody wanted to give him a shout-out for that. So that gives us some context for kind of what you've been doing for the last couple of years, but I want to just have some question and conversation with you about how you got there. I've known you for 10 years, and 10 years ago, you know, when my wife and I moved here to Sterling and I met you just shortly after your rededication to the Lord, and you were excited about the things of God, but in all honesty, there was nothing at that time that I would have said saw you going towards missions. I couldn't have seen that. I couldn't have anticipated that. I'm not sure that you could have either. So what I want to do is I want to talk about your journey of hearing God to move into that direction, but let's start from here and move backwards. Right now, what are some ways that you recognize God's voice? What are some ways that you recognize when God is giving you direction in the way that you make decisions in your life? So let's start there, and we'll talk about how you discovered maybe those things.
A couple of the most important things for me right now is prayer time, and sometimes I didn't say exactly what that means. Sometimes for me, prayer means going somewhere where I don't have any distractions. That's been very important in the process. Still to this day, I'm studying the Bible in depth. Whenever I hear from God, I align that up with the Word of God. Going to church, everything with that has been super important. Being around leadership, being accountable, and also being open to have God speak through other people. Those are the primary ways. And then there were certain times, and this is still happening, where I'll feel like something's off, and then I know that I need to set some time aside to for some prayer and fasting, for some sort of breakthrough.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about prayer, because I think that of those things, most of us would be convinced that we can at least, you know, take baby steps in prayer, right? You were talking about a prayer. You were talking about getting into God's Word and really studying. That might be intimidating for some of us. We might feel like, you know what, that's a little bit, maybe that's out of my grasp right now. But I think all of us, especially if we were desperate, right, in your moment of desperation, we get really good at praying, don't we, when things are going south? So I think that we can all, at least in desperation, cry out in prayer. Talk to us a little bit about what does prayer look like for you now? And then maybe we'll talk about what it looked like when you were first saved. But what does prayer look like now?
For me, the biggest thing, and it's actually very similar to when I rededicated my life, prayer is very real. I have very honest conversations. I know initially I was like, okay, I can talk. I'm really feel comfortable talking to God about this. Eventually, it was after so long. I remember I'm not cussing wasn't really a big deal, but I remember I like said something. I wasn't saying it out loud, but the Lord's like, I heard that or something like that. And and I just
Uh-oh.
Remember
we're in trouble, aren't we?
The Lord taught me at a very early of just being very authentic in my communication with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I shared this earlier. Also, responding to God has been what's shaped my prayer life. And I would say it's just as important to respond properly to when God says no as when God says yes.
Ooh, I'm going to circle back to that. Okay. So hopefully somebody keeps a note because I'm going to forget it. But I want to circle back to that in a little bit. But staying kind of on the topic of the idea of prayer, how has listening become kind of a central part to prayer? Because one of the things that we're just kind of talking about this morning is the idea of hearing God's direction or hearing his plan and his purpose or his design for our life. And so part of that, you know, isn't going to be us telling God what we think it's supposed to be, but for us to quiet ourselves and actually hear and receive. So what is listening in prayer? How does that work just for you in your personal life?
I would say that the biggest thing that's happened in the last couple of years is just the topic of inner healing. So there's, I'll bring an example of just a couple weeks ago, I was asking God why I wasn't having breakthrough. And where I'm at with God now, I ask the Lord, what do I need to give you? I love the Matthew 11:28. That's my go-to prayer, life with God, where I release something to God. And then I ask him what he wants to give me in exchange for that. Just that alone, that prayer has taught me so much because, first of all, I didn't know that God wanted my bad stuff. I didn't know if God could handle it. I thought I was maybe just supposed to hide it. And then the second thing was I didn't know God wanted to give me something good in exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And every single time, I mean, and this has been going on, and again, it's been the most powerful prayer. I put my hands out, and I'm feeling the Lord minister to me, feeling the presence of God. So my prayers aren't just demanding something from God. It's a relational process where I know God loves me, where he's rewriting my identity. He's building up all of those things that were lost when creation fell.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That reference that he's making to is the place where Jesus invites people to come to him in their weariness and with their burdens and to exchange that for rest. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take upon yourself my yoke, which is easy and light. And what Aaron's describing there is really a kingdom principle where Jesus invites us to bring our burdens. He invites us to bring our brokenness, be honest with that. But he takes that, he removes that, and he gives something in its stead. And I love kind of what the challenge that you described, because a lot of times in our guilt, in our failure, in the honest assessment of our own lives, we know where we fell short. Sometimes it's hard for us to confess those things before the Lord, and we think that we acknowledge them to him, and then he points out our guilt, and then somehow says, but you know, I'll let you slide this time, and somehow we still have to deal with that stuff. But the transaction spiritually that is modeled in Scripture is that he takes those things. Even in Isaiah, it says that he took our infirmities and our iniquities. He takes that upon himself. That's what the cross was all about. And so I love that component of prayer where we're not just complaining to God, because a lot of times that's my prayer life, right? Here's the things that are going wrong in my life, and can you please do something about it? But being more honest and relational, where here's what is honestly plaguing my heart and my soul, and Jesus, will you take this? Will you take this grief? Will you take this hurt? Will you take this disappointment? Will you take this disillusionment? Will you take this? And then what do you have for me in exchange? And he always has something of himself that's in exchange. That, again, that's the transaction element of the cross. That's where the fruit of the Spirit comes into play, that he wants to take that grief and maybe give you joy, or maybe give you peace, or maybe give you rest in the middle of that. That's kind of the picture there. So I love that component, because when you ask, okay, God, what do you have for me? Then you have to pause. Right, you have to listen. You're asking a question, and just instead of just kind of dictating what's going on in your life. So I think that's a great model, Aaron. That's a great reminder.
And for me, that was the most important part, to understand God's kingdom. That I know earlier in my relationship with God, where I was developing, listening to Him in direction. The important part was understanding that what He wanted to give me was what I needed to continue to move forward and to be in the right direction. I know earlier I missed this part of it, so I'm going to work harder. And so I was always trying to give something to God. I'm like, oh God, I give you this horrible situation, and then I would try to solve that. And that was the early struggles, and even the disciplines that have helped me hear clear from God. I'm also just very careful about that, to listen very closely, and sometimes I go study more, pray more, and other times, the Lord's very specifically telling me I need to relax, and that response is what's really bringing health to my life.
Nice, thanks. Let me give you guys just a practical thing to think about, and maybe even do this week, okay? Because the goal of our conversation here is to illustrate how you can, in your life, take some steps maybe to move towards either the discovery or the understanding or more clarity around God's plan and His purpose and His design for your life. Or in just a minute, we're going to shift gears and we're going to talk about how, once you have some of that, to take steps of faith and kind of grow up a little bit and move forward into those things. But staying on this topic of just hearing from the Lord, when we talk about God having a design for your life, that might be a foreign concept for you. You may feel like God's design for your life is really you just need to try to live morally and not be naughty, and then somehow at the end you get a goodie bag or something for that, and that might be your perspective of what it means to like be a Christian or to follow the Lord. But as you have a growing relationship with Jesus and you come to a better understanding of what it means to be part of God's family, what you'll discover is that you'll discover a growing convincing of your heart that God does have a plan and a purpose and a design for your life. And you may even have like a yearning and a stirring in you to discover what that is and to look for that or to find some more clarity with that. Can I suggest to you that just based on the model of prayer that Aaron was sharing with us, if you are kind of confused a little bit, man, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life, right? And that you may be in one of those seasons. I visit that season kind of periodically at different times. You may be in a place where you're just where what you are is confused. What can I suggest? Just beginning with prayer and going to Jesus and being honest about that and saying, Lord, I don't know who I am. Can I give you that uncertainty, and will you speak one truth of who I am? Could you start with that? Maybe just for a series of weeks, take the time to just say, you know what, Jesus, I'm confused about this part of my life, or I'm not sure why I'm the way that I am. And begin to just say, hey, I'm going to give you that uncertainty. Can I give you that confusion? Can I give you that fear or that doubt? Or can I give that to you? And then, Jesus, what would you speak for me? I think that if you would even just start there with that simple type of prayer, where you offer that uncertainty in your life, and then you just quiet yourself to listen from him, I think that you would find that you can hear from the Lord probably better than you think that you do. I think that you'll find that he'll begin to speak to you and confirm some things in you. And as you begin to have kind of some breakthrough in that area, there's going to be an excitement that comes alive in you to pursue those things. And you're going to want to move forward. Many of us, because we're not sure what to do or who we are, we're content to stay just kind of stuck and going through the motions of life. So maybe just this week, maybe just begin with that. You know, Lord, I'm not sure about who I am or what I'm supposed to be doing, and asking him to maybe begin to speak into that. So that would be kind of an action step for that. So let's shift from there. Once you've heard from God, right, once you begin to hear from the Lord about who you are and who you're supposed to be, now comes that this is your mission, right, should you choose to accept it. And so there's something that has to happen to begin to respond in faith, you know. And so Aaron, you can talk a little bit about how or when did you begin to hear the Lord pushing you towards missions, and then what did you have to do? What were some of the practical steps that you began to take? Because there's a spiritual side to this, and there's a practical side to this. In the life of David, you see this illustrated, right, that David was developing a spiritual side of him. He was anointed to be the king of Israel, and he developed this spiritual side and discipline. You see him playing the harp and in worship experiencing the presence of God. But there is the practical side too, right, where he's out practicing with his sling. He's defending the sheep against the bear and against the lion, and it's the sling that he uses to stand against Goliath. So there's a practical side to preparing for the thing that God has called you to, and there's a spiritual side to that. So maybe give us some insight into that.
Yeah, when I first, the first thing is that I realized God had something amazing for me, and I never let that go. And after that, you know, things kind of shifted. I first rededicated my life. I expected, you know, something totally amazing to happen, and God was doing amazing things, but I had minimized the practical portions of it, and thank God for Ben, who really helped me walk through that. So, you know, for me, it was 2 years or over 2 years before the church created the missionary department and before we took our first trip.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, for me, in the midst of that, you know, I continued to, I didn't stop what I was doing. I knew God wanted me to do something, and that first step was not to throw away what I already had. So, you know, I was working for my family. I was continuing to develop skills. And then through that waiting process, then God released the first mission trip. It was very practical. And always spending time with God, and even if God didn't listen, if I didn't hear from God, I just being okay with that was very, very important, and waiting until God had further direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had a little slip of the tongue there, but the reason why it's funny is because how many times have we been in that place where we're trying to tell God how our life would be better if he listened to us? We've been there in our foolishness. So even with that slip of the tongue, there's something there for us to learn. So you know, there was this rededication where you were just on fire for the Lord, and you knew that God had something for you, that there was something for you to be pursuing. You know, and then after a few years, we took a team to Thailand. It was an exploratory team. Aaron was a part of a group of five that went, and we just went to check out Thailand, our context there, and just to see what maybe God might do someday. And one of the things that the team came back with was that there was a very clear call on Aaron for Thailand. We had this running joke, and we still have it, that there's Aaron, like Sterling Aaron, and then there's like Thailand Aaron, and Thailand Aaron is awesome. That's the Aaron that we like the most. I know it does. It sounds terrible. But there was something different about when he was in a place that was aligned with even the future that God had for him. And we couldn't see it then, but it was 5 years later that he's deployed. And that's, I mean, Aaron comes home, kind of. But when I talk to him and he's here visiting us, I ask him, when are you going home? because there's something about there that is aligned with who God has created him to be, and there's something that's come alive there. And so that has been an awesome part of the journey, but there was a lot of space there, just like in the life of David, where he's anointed the king, the next king by Samuel, and then he goes back to shepherding sheep. I mean, that's not a very kingly profession at that time. I mean, he was just kind of back in obscurity, even after having some victories. Saul still had to ask, I don't even know who this kid is, even though he was daily with him. So he was overlooked a lot, but there was this practical growth that was taking place there. What are maybe some things that you're doing right now to prepare for the next stages that God has for you? Because what we've seen and what we've experienced together is that when God has a design for your life and you begin to move into it, that it's not done, right? It's not like, okay, you've arrived, you've made it, now you're done. But it's this process of growth and this journey into kind of this continuing following after Jesus. So what are some practical things that you're doing right now to just prepare for what's next?
Right now for me, I think slowing down has been one of the themes the Lord has said, like slowing down to listen to him, to know clearly. It's just been so amazing. God's opened up so many opportunities. Right now I need to be careful because I could get lost in something, and it could still be good and God could bless it. But I'm so for me right now, I am just slowing down, waiting on for the Lord to give me a very clear direction. I really feel like leadership development is the right place. I love to do videography. I want to learn how to play some instruments. There's so many amazing things, and God keeps making a way for that. But for me, the biggest thing is slowing down and be like, but what is it? What is it that you want? I want to be partnering with God. So it's not just me, and it's not just God being a dictator. So that right now, the biggest thing is slowing down and not letting go of everything else, of the principles. Of one of the principles God taught me last year was to obey leadership. And so it's seeking God, but not and not thinking I'm there yet. Mm-hmm. Is also a big preparation.
Nice. One of the things that I just want to pull out of what you said in your response is there, you mentioned two things. You mentioned kind of the videography, and there was a number of years that you pursued photography, videography, that you honed that skill set, and really that's one of the primary roles that you're in at the Aka Outreach Foundation. So just even in that practical pursuing and preparing for the future, you didn't know you were going to be in that role. You didn't know that you would be overseeing the media department of a missions organization. You just began to pursue areas of growth and personal development. And then the other thing that you mentioned is just kind of this idea of beginning to look at learning an instrument. And that's a new thing. And both of those things are important, and the reason why I draw your attention to it is the things that you have put your effort into and your time into, the places that you intentionally pursue the things of God to develop yourself are often in preparation for something that God's going to do. And he doesn't waste your talent, he doesn't waste your passions, he's created you actually to have those things, and he aligns those with the plans and the purposes that he has for you. And so I wanted to point out that part of Aaron's journey is that he has intentionally tried to grow. He's intentionally tried to prepare. And I'm just reminded of kind of the foolishness of youth. You know, when I was 19, I sold out completely to become a pastor. I just told God, all right, fine, I'll be a pastor. It's me and you, Jesus. We'll take on the world. And I thought that that meant that me and Jesus were going to go take on the world. And what it really meant was that the Lord spoke to me about going to Bible college. And I've shared a little bit of this story with you guys because I didn't want to go. I didn't want anybody. I was like, I got a Bible. I know how to read. I got Jesus. Let's go. Let's take on the world. Can I tell you, you should write letters to the professors who spent time with young Ben because you would not sit through a message of 19-year-old Ben ever, right? Not even with the grace of grace of God. There was development that has to happen in us to be effective at the things that God has for us. So just a practical encouragement to you. You may have some stirring in your heart already. You may have a desire in your heart to be a part of the hands and feet of Jesus in this community. Think about what skills that you need to develop. Think about what you need to know how to do in order to be the best that God has asked you to be. Because you want to do your best, and you don't want to cause harm, right? And in unskilled hands, things can get they can get sideways really quick. So, Aaron, just to kind of focus on one other thing, you know. If we're having trouble hearing from the Lord, you gave us kind of a model of prayer to kind of begin with, and that's a great place to start. You've challenged us with kind of responding in faith in spiritual ways with our spiritual disciplines and then in practical ways. Let's address really quickly, what are some reasons that you think that we don't respond in faith? What are some of the hurdles maybe that are in front of us, or what were some of the challenges to you taking steps to move into the things that God had for you? And maybe that'll help us see those things and deal with those in our own lives.
For me, the biggest challenge was disassembling the lies of my past, not believing that what I had was valuable, always losing, focusing on my failures instead of God. Those were really big challenges.
Yeah, I think that. Do you guys resonate with that? Is that stuff that kind of meets you where you live? I know that there are times in my life and in my story where I felt like I had disqualified myself based on something that I had done or an experience that I had. And oftentimes that is a big hurdle in front of us, that once we actually hear from the Lord about things that he has for us, we immediately start buying into, Aaron called them the lie that says that you're not valuable, the lie that says that you're disqualified, the lie that says that you don't have what it takes or maybe what to offer. With that, and I think that we can all relate to that, if we're bumping into that, maybe one of our friends here this morning, they've heard from the Lord, and there's a chance to respond in a really practical way, there's a chance to prepare, but there's just this disbelief, this doubt. How would you encourage them to combat that lie? How did you deal with those areas in your life, or how did you overcome those?
For me, the biggest thing was to, simplest way to say it, was to come to church, to be vulnerable, to develop relationships, and at the right time, share with people what was going on and get prayer. I'm remembering the promise of when two or more are gathered. Sometimes there's certain things that God wants us to be in community to get breakthrough. And so for me, the most important thing and the most to keep me balanced and for breakthroughs was to go through this process and pray with other people too.
Okay, excellent. I'm gonna we're gonna go ahead and close in just a minute. I'm gonna ask you to just bow your heads and close your eyes. And Aaron, I'm gonna ask you to pray over our church family, just in regards to the plans and the purposes that God has for each one of them, and the plans and the purposes that He has for us together. In this community, and believing, you know, we believe that our best days are in front of us, and would like you to pray for us in regards to those things.
So I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're truly good. I thank you, Father, for continuing to minister to everyone here, anyone who's believed those lies. I thank you, Father, that you would fight those battles for us, and I thank you, Father, for blessing everyone here, reminding them that they have opportunities to be vulnerable with your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, that you would continue to lift everyone up here and remind us that we're created to be a blessing for one another, and to put aside all of those things that are keeping us from a deeper relationship with you. So and with others. And I thank you, Father, for blessing all the families here. I thank you, Father, you care so much about restoring families. So I thank you, Father, you would release a special blessing of restoration, that families would become whole. I thank you, Father, you'd release opportunities for everyone here in their jobs and all throughout the day when they're going to Walmart, that they would have opportunities to connect. Thank you, Father, for interrupting our lives for those times where we need to be reset. And so I thank you, Jesus, that we can truly trust you and that you are the God that has all the answers in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And Lord, for each heart here, we ask that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, that you would help us to be able to receive your direction. Lord, that we would be able to discern your plans and your purposes for us, that we would be able to have an understanding of who we are in Christ, that we would welcome that identity. And Lord, that we would agree with your plan and purpose for us individually. Lord, that we would choose to accept that mission. And Lord, as we develop a discipline in being able to hear from you, Lord, just maybe even in starting with prayer this week, offering those places of brokenness and asking what you would give us in exchange, as we begin to train our ear to hear for you, from you, Lord, also give us a resolve to respond in faith. Lord, knowing that as we hear with clarity, that now there's an opportunity to respond and to prepare, to take steps of faith. Lord, that maybe today is a step of faith that is preparing us for something that you have for us 5 years in the future, 7 years in the future. Lord, that there would be a dedication in our hearts to develop and to grow, to continue moving forward. Lord, to continue to prepare and to be developed so that we are ready when the time is right. Lord, that when the fullness of time and at the time of fruition for your plans and purposes, that we're ready to move, that we're ready to act, because we have prepared ourselves in advance of seeing those things come to pass. Lord, knowing that preparation itself is an act of faith, that as we take practical steps, we are putting into motion faith in our lives that says, one day I'll be able to step into the fullness of this promise. Lord, give us that type of resolve and that type of dedication, and give us patience in the waiting. Lord, give us courage in the waiting. Give us certainty in the waiting, Lord, that we wouldn't be cast to and fro by doubt, but that we would have a confidence in you and in your plan and purpose for our lives, for each one of us, and as a family connected together here at Sterling Foursquare. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we thank Aaron for sharing with us and spending time with us today? I'm going to invite you to go ahead and stand. We've got some action steps that are going to be up here. These are just some practical things that you can begin to do this week. So if you've got your smartphone or your tablet, you can snap a picture of this. But take some time to receive direction from the Lord. If God has plans and purposes and a mission for your life, then maybe it would be important for us to begin to say, hey, what could those be? And look to discover those. And the way that you can do that in a practical step, number two, is just take some time in prayer this week to listen and then receive from Scripture. Just spend some time reading God's Word and listening in prayer and see what He would speak to your heart. And then as those things kind of come to the surface, take a practical step of faith towards responding to that direction this week. Amen? Amen. Well, Scripture tells us that in His presence is the fullness of joy, and that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so we're going to go out singing that whole song, that there is joy in the house of the Lord. Let's be strengthened by His presence, and let's receive the fullness of that joy, and then let's take that out with us as we go.